I definitely do not consider myself an expert on prayer. I've never thought my prayers were long enough, eloquent enough, or powerful enough. I hear some people pray, and it just seems so natural. It's like they're talking to their best friend. I love to hear Pastor Earl pray. I love to hear Pastor Ken pray. I love to hear Brother Fred pray. And there are others. That it just seems to come so natural to them. I really believe we come up with reasons not to pray. Number one, I feel like we aren't good enough at it. You ever been there? Maybe you get distracted when you pray. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. Maybe you're not wanting to bother God because you think your request is too small. God, you're busy with all these other things. My little request, not important. Then I thought about, we're not thinking our prayers are actually making a difference. You ever felt that way? I've personally stared each one of these prayer obstacles right in the face. But God's changing my heart and attitude toward prayer. I was in here praying this week, walking around this auditorium, and I looked back at that sign, and it said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. And the Lord said, you need to speak on prayer this week. You need to lead our church in a 10 days of prayer. And at the end of my message, I'm going to give you a little sheet as a guide. For the next 10 days, I'd like you to pray over the needs of our church right now. If you're not sure where you want to be in your prayer life, don't worry. Now, you ought to already know that because last week I spoke on, don't worry, be happy. No, don't, nobody start singing the song, okay? You can do that when you get home. So if you're not where you want to be in your prayer life, don't worry about it. You got to start somewhere. God loves the prayers of imperfect people. Did you get that? God loves the prayers of imperfect people. By the way, we're all imperfect. So he loves the prayers of all of us. People who know they've done wrong. People who know they are helpless on their own. Those who reach out to God and realize they need him above anything else or everything else. He loves to hear the prayers of those kind of people. And I believe we've got an auditorium full of those kind of people today. I need to remember who I'm talking to. Just let this sink in, y'all. The God of the universe is honestly, truly excited to hear from me. And he wants to talk to me and speak to me through his word. That truth alone ought to change our attitude about praying. That the God who created everything we see wants to hear from us. I've already mentioned Romans 12:12, be instant in prayer. Y'all remember when the disciples came to Jesus in Luke 11:1? What did they ask him? Lord, teach us to pray. We're in a series on disciple. Be one, make one. To be a disciple, don't worry, be happy. God will take care of you. Disciple, today, I believe a disciple is a prayer warrior. And I want to encourage our church. This needs to be a house of prayer. We need to be prayer warriors. Y'all, we are in spiritual warfare. Have y'all figured that out yet? God does not like what's going on here at our church because we've been reaching people with the gospel. And old Satan wants to fight at every corner. So we need to be on our knees in prayer. The disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's what we're doing today. Now, I'm not going to preach about praying in public. I could spend a lot of time there. There is a proper way to pray in public. You're not doing it to impress people. You're just communicating with God. I'm not preaching on group praying, which I think is excellent. I'm not preaching on family praying, which I think is very important. You ought to pray as a family because that is a great education for your kids if you've got a prayer list and they see when those prayers get answered. Great education for your kids. All those things are wonderful. Public praying, group praying, family praying, but today I want to focus on private prayer. Matthew 6:6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret," private, "and thy Father which seeth in secret." By the way, y'all believe he sees everything? The good, the bad, and the ugly? He's going to reward thee openly. Most Christians have good intentions when it comes to prayer, but they lack the follow-through. How many have had some good intentions on doing a chore around the house, but that chore is still undone? We've been trying to paint the inside of our house. Well, really, Tanya. And it keeps getting delayed, delayed, delayed. Good intentions, but we have not been able to follow through yet. Sometimes in prayer, we're half-hearted. We're inconsistent. We struggle at maintaining an intimate time with the Lord. A lot of my prayers are this. Are you ready for this? ADD. How many have ever had that? I call them attention deficit disorder. Prayers are like this. My mind wanders off. Can y'all relate? I see that the garbage can is full and the milk jug sticking out. And all of a sudden my mind goes to, hey, I forgot to pick up some milk. I need to go to the store and get that. And then we immediately go to, wait a minute, I don't know if I have enough gas to get there. Oh, and by the way, the car, I think, needs an oil change. So you've gone from praying to worrying about the garbage, the milk jug, your car, and all those things. We need to learn how to talk to God. And we need to ask Him to help us not have attention deficit disorder prayers. Keep our minds focused. Now, when you pray, you need to include some praises. You need to enter His courts with praise when you start praying. Thank Him for His goodness. Then we need to have a time of forgiveness. If He's pointing anything out in our lives that are displeasing to Him, we need to ask forgiveness, confess those sins. Then we need to pray for our needs. We all have needs. Then we need to pray for His protection in our life. Maybe a devotional guide would be a great help as you read your Bible. Maybe read your Bible first and then pray. Some pray first and then read their Bible. Whichever way you want to do it. Maybe you need to use a journal. Write down what God gives you. It helps you with being consistent. Keeps your mind focused. Maybe there's a specific time, a specific place, a specific way that you need to pattern your prayer life. And that's exactly what you need so you can develop a habit to become a prayer warrior. Here's some things that God's teaching me about prayer. Prayer is not just about kneeling, hands clasped, in a church, before a meal, or at bedtime. Sometimes prayer can get real formal and stuffy. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? When he got his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. How many remember this story? Are you with me? Wake up. Jab your neighbor. Wake them up, all right? Peter's walking on the water. All of a sudden, he gets his eyes off Jesus, and he looks around, and all of a sudden, he starts to sink. Did he pray like this? Oh, now, Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please help me not to drown in this massive body of water, please. Is that how he prayed? Does anybody remember his three-word prayer? Lord, save me! That's all it was. A lot of times we feel like, ooh, I need to impress God with my fancy words. No, you don't. He knows you. He knows us. We don't need to talk to Him like that. We need to get right down to business like Peter did. Prayer's simplest definition is communicating with God. If I were to define communication, it would be this: transferring a thought, a feeling, an emotion, or idea to someone else. Do you get that? That's what communication is. Transferring a thought. Does He know what you're thinking? Does He know how you're feeling? Does He know all about your emotions and your ideas? Transferring that to Him. Doesn't have to be formal, doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be dry. Simply communicating. Doesn't even have to be with words. Have you ever gone to pray and you just can't find the words? Someone said it this way in prayer, it's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. For a disciple to be a prayer warrior, I got four practical ways this morning. For a disciple, which many of you, 2 weeks ago when we started this, you say, hey, I want to be a disciple. Well, here's how you can be a prayer warrior. Number one, pray honestly. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Is that up there? Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me. You ever prayed that way? Woo. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. Well, he got that right. We don't compare to him. And hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Lord, you've deceived me. Now, God hates it when we wear a mask. And boy, Jeremiah did not hold back when he prayed to God. When talking to God, he got right to the point, said exactly what was on his mind. He did not play games with God. And neither should we. Now, God didn't really deceive Jeremiah, right? But Jeremiah wasn't afraid to tell God how he felt. God knew how he felt anyway. He just communicated that with God. The prayers of godly people recorded in Scripture are amazing. Think about it. When they were afraid, they told God about their fears. Do you do that? When they doubted out loud in front of God. When they were angry, woo, they let it rip. Under the reign of the evil king Jehoiakim, the nation of Judah is declining very rapidly during the time of injustice, immorality, violence. And the prophet Habakkuk was convinced God was not doing what he should be doing. And boy, he cried out. How long do I have to cry out for help and you not hear me? You ever spoke to God that way? You're not saving us from this violence. You're just standing idle while I'm facing sin, destruction, violence, strife, contention. You know, I think a lot of times we're afraid to pray like that, but there's nothing wrong with it. Boy, if the prophets did it, I think we can do it. Or you could pray like Eddie Haskell. Anybody remember him? Now, this is for the older generation. These guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Eddie Haskell was Wally's friend on Leave It to Beaver, one of those great shows. What did Eddie Haskell do every time he entered the Cleaver home? Was it Cleaver? Is that their last name? Oh, yeah. He would enter the home and say, hello, Mrs. Cleaver. You sure look nice today or lovely today. He used the same line every time. Now, do you want to pray like Eddie Haskell and go to God and say the same thing every day? And just, it's not authentic. It's rote. It's routine. Or do you want to pray like the prophet Jeremiah or Habakkuk and get down to business? Sometimes we pray what we think God wants to hear. And we end up with a very polite, sterile type of praying. And that's the kind of praying that doesn't get past the ceiling. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to be honest in our prayers. Eddie's words were right, oh Eddie Haskell, but they weren't genuine. So your words could be perfect, but it's not genuine. God wants to see your heart. By the way, I think it's hypocrisy to pretend that we've accepted God's ways and that we're walking in complete submission to Him when actually we still got some deep questions going on inside. There's nothing wrong with us asking why. Does that mean He's going to reveal it as soon as you pray it? Nope. But over time, He'll reveal His purposes and His plan, because I still believe all things work together for good to them that love God. So if you're having those questions, if you're struggling with something, tell him. Be completely honest with him above all else. There's going to be times when you don't understand what he's doing. Can I get a witness? You're just shaking your head and like, what is going on? Why are you doing this? Well, Moses, Gideon, Elijah, they all questioned God. They were real. They prayed honestly. I want to encourage you to do that. Jesus wants us to be real, not showy. So go ahead and pray honestly. Tell him you're hurting. Tell him you're afraid. Tell him you're battling with doubts. Tell him you feel something's not fair. Don't hold back. God wants us to be truthful with him. I would much rather, when my kids were younger, I just want them to go ahead and blurt out what they need. Daddy, I'm afraid of the dark. Would you help me? Just go ahead and tell me. I hope that they would never feel like they would have to talk to me like this. Are you ready for this? Make sure you're listening. Grand omnipotent Father of the household, I beseech your presence. Great provider of all I have, grant me thy presence through the long watches of the night, for lingering fears beset me. Verily, until dawn's first rays at last, light my heart with hope. I've heard people pray like that. Have you? When they just need to say, God, I'm afraid of the dark. Will you help me? Instead of going all through that rigmarole. We shouldn't pray to our Heavenly Father like that. Pray honestly. Number two, pray about everything. Philippians 4:6. Can you say it with me? Is it up there? Get it up there, boys. Be careful for nothing. Guess what that means, y'all? Don't worry about anything. See how this all ties in together? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget to include. We need to thank him for what he's done. Let your requests be made known unto God. Tell God what you need. That's Philippians 4:6. Whatever's on your mind. Your heat's not working. Your lights are out for 3 days. Can I get a witness? Y'all had it out for 3 days, right? My in-laws had it out for 3 days. Your stubbed toe, you can pray about that. Your burnt dinner, ladies, when's the last time you had a burnt dinner? You know, we can take anything to him. He cares about what we care about. When Katie was younger, we lived in Burlington. I don't know how old she was. Her cat, Callie, slipped out of the screened-in porch. You know what she did? She had them claws, and we had a screen. She cut a way out. Couldn't find her. Here we go in the car, going all over the neighborhood trying to search for old Callie. She's crying her eyes out. The boys are crying. They're helping her. We're all looking for this crazy cat. The next morning, after we finally got everybody to bed and said, we're just going to have to wait. It's too dark. We can't do anymore. The next morning, she's on the screen porch. But you know what we did as a family? We prayed that old Callie would come back. Because I could tell, man, Katie was hurt. She wanted to have her cat. She didn't want to lose her cat. We can pray about anything. If your grandfather has cancer, pray that God would heal him. Nothing wrong with praying that God will heal them. May not be his plan. God may give him ultimate healing, take him on to heaven. Amen? But we can pray that way. Your boss drives you crazy? Amen. Talk to God about it. If you have headaches, tell God it hurts. If your marriage is in bad shape, ask God for help. If you're considering replacing an older car, then ask God for wisdom. Don't just do things on a whim. If you're considering a job change, boy, you better ask God for direction. Prayer may or may not change what God does, but praying will often change our hearts, change our perspective. I think the closer you walk to God, as you walk in the Spirit, yield to his control, you're going to know what to pray for, and then you're going to see your prayers answered. Do you get that? I never get my prayers answered. Get close to the Lord. Walk with Him every day. Yield to the Spirit who lives inside of you. Then your perspective is going to change. Your heart's going to change. You're going to start praying in the will of God, and then you're going to see your prayers answered. That's the way prayer works. Prayer reminds me that I'm not in control. Prayer reminds me that I need to keep close to the one who is in control. And I can pray for everything. Some things that are clearly in Scripture, you don't need to pray for them. You just need to do it. What's the commercial? Just do it. You say, I know what the Bible says, but if the Bible says it, do it. You don't have to pray about that. Number three, pray without ceasing. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. It just basically means never stop praying. It's really an attitude. God is my constant travel companion. Aren't you thankful for that? He's always with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's always ready to listen. There was one time I told the class downstairs last week about Alan having seizures. Most of the time when he was younger, he'd have a seizure, he would just zone out. He'd just kind of lose it for a little bit. And then he would be so tired, he'd have to take a nap. But there was one time where he had a grandma seizure. Has anybody ever seen that? You're talking about scaring us to death. First time it happened, last time it's happened. It's only happened that one time. But I'll never forget, we put him in the car. We're headed to Knoxville from Newport, Tennessee. We are following we're racing to Knoxville, and we meet the ambulance at one of the exits on the way. They said, go ahead and get in the car, and we'll meet you at this certain exit. And I remember being overwhelmed, and every breath came a prayer. God help Alan. His poor mama was with him in the car, or in the ambulance. And I'm following along the whole time just praying. Every breath. You know, praying should be like breathing. It ought to be that natural. It ought to be that constant, moment by moment fellowship. It needs to become a way of life for all of us. The Bible says we are always to pray and not to faint. There you go. Hey, if you're praying for the salvation of a loved one, keep it up. Never give up. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing that they'll be saved. Just because God delays doesn't mean He's not interested, and it doesn't mean He's not listening. Y'all believe that? And it also certainly doesn't mean that He does not have the power to answer our prayers. He's got the power. He can do anything He wants. One of our families shared last week, this is how they're training their kids when it comes to praying. When we pray, family, God answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, not right now, or I have a better plan. I love that. Because you know what I used to tell my kids? Yes, no, or wait. Remember that? But I like that wording a lot better. It's either yes, not right now, or I have a better plan. That's the way we need to be training our kids. Now, we like stuff immediately. How many are going to warm up something in the microwave? I hope you don't have to use the microwave today, okay? David, for I am in trouble, hear me speedily. Man, he wanted God to answer him right away. How about this one? In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Lord, take this illness away from me quick. Deliver me now. All I want to tell you, He may not deliver right now. It may take a little longer, but pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pray longer. Doesn't mean you have, it just means more frequent prayer. I like to use the acrostic PUSH, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Pray without ceasing. Pray until something happens. God is going to deliver us in his time, in his way. We just got to hold on. We got to wait. We got to pray, repent, do some soul searching. Trust God no matter how bad things get. God is already at work. And when we wait in faith and see it through, we grow in our faith, and but it brings greater glory to his name. Pray honestly. Pray for everything. Pray without ceasing. Number four, pray creatively. David played instruments of worship. Eleanor, when she bangs those keys, you know what she's doing? She's offering, hey, that's the way David prayed, through instruments of worship. That's what Eleanor can do. Or any of you others that play instruments for God's glory. He prayed through songs. You ever prayed through a song before? Ever been in your quiet time? And the Lord lays a song on your heart and you get your little YouTube out or something and you push play. That's part of your prayers to God. He prayed while shouting. Now, I would avoid this in a restaurant or a public restroom. But buddy, at home, give it a shot. Let it rip. Praise him with shouting. Shout for joy. It's all in the Psalms. How about this one, David? Consider my sighing. My sighing? Do you know God even understands our emotions, our questions, our pain, our confusion, our hopes can all be wrapped up in a sigh. Write down your prayers. I think it helps. Pray during routine tasks. Mowing the yard, walking, doing laundry, working out, driving to work. Now, don't close your eyes because we're to watch and pray, okay? But you're able to pray. You don't have to be in that certain spot. You can pray during routine tasks. Try praying in a different place. Maybe you got a favorite chair. Find another special place. Maybe in the yard, on the back deck, in a porch swing. Many have literally cleaned out a closet to have a private place of prayer. Pray in different positions, sitting, standing, walking, kneeling, or face down on the floor, prostrate when you're overwhelmed by his glory and his presence. Pray by listening. Boy, good communication is two ways. It's not one-sided. Sometimes we just need to shut up, pause, and listen to what God has for us. He wants to speak to us. You'll know his will as you pray for the right things. You'll get your prayers answered. All right, so let's review. Honestly, pray for everything. Pray without ceasing. Pray creatively. Why not start praying now? Talk to God about whatever's on your heart. Cry out to him if you need to. If you're hurting, unload on him. He can handle it. Aren't you glad you have a God that can handle it? You can unload on him. If you feel alone, ask him for comfort. If you're angry, let it rip. If you've been away for a while, tell him you're ready to come home. Pray that prayer of repentance. Say, I need to get thoroughly right with God. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I need to get right. Let's all commit to being instant in prayer. I believe a true disciple is a prayer warrior. No doubt about it. We're going to pray for our church. But also, if you're here today and you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, what does that mean? You never asked Jesus to be your personal Savior. You have to realize you're a sinner, that Jesus is the only way, and that he gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you. And then you must believe in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you need to pray a sinner's prayer and be saved today. We'd love to show you today how you can be saved. Pray for your family. Pray for whatever you're facing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Can I have some men help me pass these out as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Come on, men. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can take some of this. As our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to pray for personal needs. Thank Him. Praise Him. He's been so good to us. Ask for forgiveness as He points that out to you. Pray for any needs that you have right now. Pray for protection from the enemy. The enemy is out to seek, or is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And then eventually you're going to get this sheet. I want you to pray for our church. And I want us to commit to 10 days of prayer. So it gives you a date and it gives you a topic to pray about. And I want us to commit to praying. Let's all become prayer warriors. You say, "Preacher, I want to be a disciple." I think a characteristic of a disciple is to be a prayer warrior. I wonder if you'll come and join me in this altar. Miss Eleanor, would you come and play something for us? Perhaps you got something in your life you need, want to get right with the Lord. Perhaps you need to go to somebody in this building, ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is, bring it to Him. These altars are open for you. Would you come pray? Pray for our church. Let's stand together. Would you come?